The recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Thursday, April 27th, 2017. On today's call, we have Adetola Bagus-Bason, Jimson Alucier, Lawrence Alawale-Roberts, Hiba Kamal Grayson, Andy Abrams, Chris Wilson, Marcus Eke, Barbara Warner, Marie Petullo, Steve Del Bianco, Susan Kawaguchi, Jay Sadowski, Cheryl Miller, Claudia Selly, Cecilia Smith, Philip Corwin, and Tim Chen. And Andrew Mack, who is just joining us, and Ari Giovenco. We have apologies from Beth Allegretti and tentative apologies from Arignola Akanyemi. From staff, we have myself, Chantal Dirksen. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Chantal. This is Chris Wilson for the record. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to be on today's call. Certainly appreciate it. Why don't we go ahead and in the interest of time, turn to Steve for the policy calendar review. Steve?
Thank you, Chris. Steve Del Bianco here, and I think that Chantel is putting it up. So, everyone, the policy calendar was sent out early yesterday. Chantel has it on the screen in front of you. If anyone needs it, email Chantel, and she'll send it over to you. Starting on Channel 1 for public comments, we have two that we've submitted since our last call. One was on April the 21st. We filed a comment on the cross-community working group looking at using country and territory names as top-level domains. I want to thank Andy Abrams, Andrew Harris, Barbara Warner, and Navaldo for drafting that BC comment, which we filed on the 21st. On the 24th of April, earlier this week, we filed a very short comment where we endorsed the draft recommendations for standards of good faith when the community, the empowered community, is exercising the new bylaws powers to remove one or all members and directors of the ICANN board. So we didn't elaborate. We supported the common sense recommendations, and that had been circulated to all of you on two previous BC calls. So now let me turn to the current open public comment period. There are many of them, of which seven I've highlighted for us to follow up on. The very first one is due tomorrow. Fortunately, we've had a draft that's been circulated for quite some time, and that was due to the good work of Jimson, Chris Chaplow, Marilyn Cade, and Jay Sadowski, and I've added a few edits as well. And then Denise Michelle added an edit with respect to the Open Data Initiative. Now, the one I attached to the policy calendar reflects all of those edits, but Jimson circulated just a few moments ago two additional paragraphs, which we're inserting, and those are in response to something unfortunate that happened with respect to the BC's request for budget to cover BC representation at internet governance events, such as WSIS, the CSTD, and at IGF. And ICANN's board this weekend is having an hour-long discussion of how they're going to participate more actively at the IGF. So we would have thought this would have been a slam dunk, but apparently, by inserting WSIS among the events we were pursuing, ICANN staff, in looking at that on the budget basis, considered that that one didn't apply. So, therefore, they did not grant the request for budget that we had for things like the IGF and CSTD. So, in our comment, Jimson has added that as a request. We followed up with Rob Hogarth, who suggested that we put it in our budget comment. We also added one other paragraph, which is that in the future, we want ICANN staff to remind the community that when they're submitting a budget request for outreach travel, that they do one request for each event, as opposed to lumping events together and falling into the same trap that befell the business constituency. So thank you, Jimson, for circulating that. This is last call right now on this phone call of anyone who has any further comments on our budget request, budget and operating plan comment that we're going to file tomorrow. I'll take a cue on that. Great. I see nothing. And thank you, Jimson, and everyone else. I'll file that tomorrow. The second item up is – I'm sorry. Go ahead. Someone wanted to speak? Okay. The second one is a draft market study on the DNS market, and it's for the African marketplace. Those comments close next week on May the 5th. Please mute your phone if you're not speaking. Waudo, thank you very much for drafting initial comment. And yesterday, Andrew Mack added some edits. The second attachment to the policy calendar represents the current state of the BC's comment. And again, this is due in about 7 days. So I will happily take a cue from those who want to elaborate on what's in the comment, the authors of it, or others who want to ask questions. This is about the DNS market in Africa. The BC has taken an interesting tack on these market studies lately by suggesting that it's not really relevant how many registries and registrars ICANN establishes in regions. All that matters is the serving of registrants with available scripts, languages for the domain names that they want, and they need to be able to use registrars who can present the terms of service, policies, and in languages and scripts that they can read. They also have to be able to accept payment in some countries where banking and credit card transactions are difficult for some registrants to use. So all of these come down hard on Africa, where there is a variety of scripts and languages used, and where some nations have difficulty making online payments for registration, hosting services, and the like. So we are focusing, like BC always does, on the question of how do we serve registrants. And in our case, we look at business registrants and business users. Andrew Mack.
Yes, Steve, thanks very much. And I don't know if Waldo is on the call, but wanted to thank him for going through this in tremendous detail. I think both of us spent a lot of time on it because it's a pretty dense report. By and large, I think that our impression was that the report was pretty good. There were some real limitations on it, given the fact that a lot of the data actually came from South Africa. That was one of the things that we're recommending, is to try to get much more data and information into the system on an ongoing basis. So for BC members that want to take a quick glance at this, one of the last things that we suggested was that it would be worthwhile for ICANN to have an observatory so that ICANN is very actively involved in collecting data, including from parts of the continent that are not typically surveyed as much, especially.
Andy, you dropped off, if you're still there. Andrew, still there. All right, Andrew's line was disconnected, and operator's going to call him back. That's fine. Meanwhile, I will note that comment needs to reflect the BC's emphasis on interest of registrants. We did so in the Middle East DNS market study, and I'll ask the authors to add that qualifier to the very top of the report. All right, let's move on to the next one. There's a proposed change to ICANN's bylaws, and it's in the section of the bylaws which we now classify as fundamental bylaws. These have to do with ICANN's mission, the core values, and the new powers that have been given to the community as a result of the transition. So fundamental bylaws require approval by the ICANN community, the empowered community, before they can become part of ICANN bylaws. So on this particular case, it's a rather minor change. It's probably a good one for us to practice this empowered community mechanism. It's a relatively minor change by which the board designates which group handles reconsideration requests. So instead of the committee that used to handle them, they're going to now move it to a new board committee. Now, those comments close in about 12 days. Phil Corwin and I are currently on list as the volunteers to draft the BC's reply on that. And I do anticipate the BC will endorse the idea. Now, the BC has two relatively recent experiences with reconsideration requests. And Phil Corwin, do you have anything to add to that? You and I will have to get that circulated in the next few days.
Yeah, nothing to add right now, Steve. Thanks.
Andrew Mack, are you dialed back in? All right, we'll move on to the fourth one. There's a very extensive report, well over 150 pages, that was prepared by the review team required under the affirmation of commitments in the bylaws to review the new GTLD program to see whether it promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. It's also looking at the application and evaluation process. That comment period is extended. It's now due May the 19th, and they have 50 recommendations, of which a certain category we're going to park over here because they have to do with how future reviews might be done more efficiently. So we don't have to put as much time into that. But BC member Waudo is on the review team and given us a head start of guidance on it. And then we have a group that includes Tim Chen, Tim Smith, Aaron Ola, and Susan Kawaguchi, all of whom are working right now on drafting a BC comment. And I circulated to that group a request to put it out to the full BC as soon as we can. Now, on last call we had on the BC, Chris Wilson noted that Jamie Hedlund had done a blog post, and it's exactly on point with recommendation 23 of this report. So I would ask the authors to be sure that on Rec 23, you take a look at Jamie's blog post and take advantage of whatever the new compliance director is telling us he's willing to do. We had two other volunteers who joined on two weeks ago. Kiva was going to check with her colleagues at Google who had applied for new GTLDs so that we could add to our comments thoughts on the application and evaluation process, since that's a small part of the recommendations that are in there. And if there were certain experiences that were obtained as a business applicant, let's reflect them in our comments, and we won't identify the company that actually submitted it. And for the authors on that team, Chantel has just posted into the chat a link to Jamie's blog post. Another volunteer from 2 weeks ago was Andrew Mack. And Andrew, we are looking to you to focus just on the comments, a recommendation, that refer to the joint applicant support, this notion of providing financial, legal, or technical assistance to applicants that would otherwise not be able to complete a winning application. So with respect to Andrew and Heba, I do hope that in the next week you'll be able to take a look at that and circulate among the drafting team your thoughts on those particular aspects. Andrew, I note that you're dialed back in, and if you want to add anything more on the comment on the DNS Africa market study, we'll turn to you. I did want to say that after you dropped, we noted that the draft you have for Africa does not include the same heading, the caveat, that we had in the Middle East market study that we submitted just a month ago. And that is the one where we lay out the BC's preeminent interest is in registrants, particularly business registrants and business users. And I think that adding that to the top of your Africa market study report will certainly qualify the nature of the rest of our comments. Andrew, did you have anything more you wanted to add?
Yes, real quickly, Steve, if I could.
Go ahead.
Sure, thanks. No question, the caveat that we had for the Middle East goes for all regions, so absolutely okay with that. No, there's just the piece that I would like to draw the BC's attention to were around it's where we go to specific comments and suggestions we have on. We had two points on IP rights that Waldo put forward, and I just wanted to throw it out to the BC to get BC comments, and they don't need to be on this call unless people would like to. And I'll just read them really quickly because they're here. One reads, the report recommendation states that, quote, requirements, if any, relating to the compliance prior to registration of all intellectual property rights laws should be removed, and rules should rather focus on addressing violations through alternative dispute resolution mechanisms after registration, unquote. And Waldo puts, the BC feels that this recommendation is not business-friendly and unnecessarily limiting. Alternative DRMs are in many cases more expensive and complex than if dealt with in registration rules and restrictions. The BC is of the view that this recommendation is only concerned with registration quantities rather than overall functioning of the system and should not be adopted. And I want to throw that out as one where there may be some nuance that we wanted that the broader BC might want to add. The second one reads, recommendation to remove registration restrictions. Page 16, quote, rules in place in some countries requiring domain names to match the business/personal name of the entity runs counter to the BC mission of ensuring end-user confidence and trust in the DNS. In addition, other studies have shown that positive correlation between registration restrictions and trust in the DNS. And for me, I was a little bit confused by that and can see it breaking both ways, that where there is a trust value in having the name correspond to the applicant, but at the same time leaving there's also a business benefit in giving the applicant broad opportunity to register for the name that they choose. So I wanted to throw those both out to get people from the BC the chance to think about them. And as you're giving us your comments, those are ones that struck me as potentially outstanding that we might want to refine our approach to. Thanks, Steve.
Andrew, thank you for pointing those out. This is the second attachment to the policy calendar. We probably don't have the time to dive into both of them in great detail, but Andrew brings up excellent points on this. The report recommendations themselves are what provoke us to react to the recommendation. And in one case, the report is suggesting we drop any requirement that a registrant have previously complied with IP rights. And my sense is that the BC would probably not support removing that requirement. And the second one with regard to the name sounds as if something the BC could support, because the name of a business may not match the name of the registrant.
Or the initiative or whatever they're trying to do, yeah.
Right. Any further comments on that from BC members? Andy and Waudo and the rest of the members of that team, let's give the BC members a day or two to respond. But this is due May the 5th, so over the weekend, we'll want to resolve how we feel about those and add the registrant interests caveat at the top, just like we had in the Middle East study. I see Marie typing in the chat. Marie, did you have a point of view? While Marie is typing, I'll turn to number five. Number five on the new comments that are due is regarding the new GTLD subsequent procedure. So this has to do with the procedures that ICANN will use for application and evaluation on new GTLD once the window opens again. It may not be another round. It could just be a continuous opening. Now, those comments have been extended as well, and they don't close until the 22nd of May. There's a questionnaire that was circulated by the PDP working group. Thanks to Susan Kawaguchi, who filled out in red text on the third attachment, the initial set of answers that we could work up. But there are many more answers needed, in particular on those who experienced the application for a new GTLD and had to go through the evaluation and even contention process. So again, I look at members on the call, folks from Amazon, from Google, from Microsoft, who had experience filing applications and can shed some light on answering the questions in the questionnaire. We won't identify the company that submitted the answers. The endeavor here is to make sure we have substantive answers to make sure that if we open the next round for new GTLDs, the business community can apply for the TLDs that are appropriate. Andy, thank you for the comments that you've added to that as well. Andrew Mack, I'll note in the chat that Marie Petullo is agreeing with respect to the two points that you brought up, that we don't want to remove the first, and we would be okay with removing the second. Cecilia, you'll be providing comments this week on the new GTLD subsequent procedures, and I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, there are only two more in here. One is recommendations from the cross-community working group for improving the SONAC accountability. This is due the 26th of May. I was the rapporteur for this group. It's one of the projects in work stream two of the IANA transition and ICANN accountability. This is a bylaws requirement for work stream two, and it required the CCWG to take a look at whether the SOs and ACs themselves are accountable. And initially, they left the question of accountable to whom. We resolved that to say that each of us is accountable to the stakeholder groups and members that the bylaws set us up to serve, and that we don't want to necessarily add a lot of formal requirements to examine the accountability of us to the respective groups that we have. There are about 25 recommendations in that report. I'm familiar with them having written it, so I am glad to answer questions from BC members on that comment, but it probably isn't appropriate if I'm the lead drafter of the comment. As Waudo did with CCT, I'm happy to provide guidance on how that works, but we will need volunteers. We have 4 weeks or so to go on this, so I'm not suggesting we have to get names immediately, but this is about the accountability of each individual SO and AC to the people that it's designed to serve. I'll look in the chat to see if anyone wants to step up and help And then finally, there's a proposed renewal for the .NET registry agreement that ICANN negotiated with the .NET registry operator, VeriSign. Those comments closed the 30th of May, and their proposal surprised us since I think there was some, I guess, speculation that they would change the ICANN fees. They did not. ICANN's fees are still 75 cents a name. ICANN at least did not try to implement the URS, instead allowing RPMs and elements like that to be developed through the community's bottom-up process. And they also retained the price caps of 10% a year for .NET domain registrations at the wholesale price level. So a couple of surprises in the sense that everything pretty much remained the same on that registry agreement. Do we have any volunteers that want to take a look at developing the BC's comment on the .NET registry agreement? All right, I'll come back to that on the next call that we have. Just a few more items, and then I'll turn it over to Susan and Phil for counsel.
Yeah, Steve, Phil here. I have my hand raised. On the .NET, because of time constraints, I don't want to take the lead on drafting that comment, but I'd be happy to provide substantial input on the BC comment as we develop it.
Thank you, Phil. Is it easier for you to do a first pass and highlight the things you're concerned about, or wait until the draft comes out from some other volunteer?
Or I could split the difference and talk with the primary drafter before a first draft is produced. But as you noted, although there are new provisions taken from the new TLD agreement and also I think from the .org agreement to modernize the agreement, on the most significant and potentially controversial subjects, it remains pretty much the same as the current agreement. So, and doesn't make any significant changes in terms of the higher fee or price caps or inclusion of the URS. So, it should be a fairly simple comment to draft, I would think.
Thank you, Phil. Any other volunteers or comments on this? Okay, happy to turn this over now to Susan and Phil to discuss the council channels. And at some point, it would be great, Denise, Michelle, I know you're on the line as well, to discuss some of the learnings from the call you had with respect to data and access to the Open Data Initiative. But first, over to Susan and Phil. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. This is Susan Calgucci for the record. Unfortunately, Phil was not able to attend the council meeting, so he, as you know, gave me his proxy. And but the first item up for a vote that day was the GAC communique, the response to the GAC communique by the GNSO Council. And that was delayed, and is an email vote for next week, specifically because everyone wanted Phil's input on the language responding to the IGO NGO, which Phil is definitely the resident expert in that. So, and Phil, I haven't reached out to you just because I assumed you were pretty busy, but I'm assuming that you've seen some of that that email thread and the language. So hopefully.
Yeah, Susan, I have, but. I had already provided some detailed additional proposed language on that portion of the response to the communique, so I'm not sure what more they're looking for. I reminded them of that.
Oh, okay. So they were, you know, it was very nice that all the council members just deferred to you. So you will need to give me some input on how to vote once we see that at the final draft out. We did vote on the Red Cross names because it was a very limited list, and that was something that came out of the Copenhagen meeting. It was very narrow and defined, and so we approved that. There was also, we voted on the GNSO comment on the ICANN budget, and that was sent off. The RDS review team, the Standing Selection Committee, came back with a little bit of a aberration of the process, but hopefully we can refine the selection committee process. But anyway, the selection committee views it as if we have four seats. That is not how it's written. So I'm hoping that another SO or AC will actually give the GNSO a fourth seat on the RDS review team. But we do have ranked candidates, and I happen to be number one, which was nice. And then, so that'll begin soon, the RDS review team. And then we also discussed the CCWG IGF charter. This is a cross-community working group that's been around for a while, but the charter did not conform to the latest standards for charters for PDPs. There's also, several council members expressed a concern that we didn't want the CCWG to cover details and issues that were really more appropriate for a PDP. So we've asked for more details to be included in the charter. And I think that was about it. I guess I'll hand it back over to you, Steve.
All right. Any other questions from members on the activities of council? As I indicated in the policy calendar, we don't expect motions and agenda for the next council meeting until May the 8th, next week. And the next council meeting is May the 18th. I did note in here that Next Generation Registration Directory Services, PDP Group. We have several members of the BC that are active on that. And then turning to Channel 3, which is the Commercial Stakeholders Group. Barbara?
Okay. I have several items here, so just bear with me as I walk through them methodically, working, I guess, really from Chris's agenda. Let me start first with board seat number 14. Just to report to the group that Greg Shatton formally notified the NCSG of our interest in supporting the nomination of Matthew Shears to fill number 14 seat, noting that we were impressed with his contributions to both ICANN Accountability Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, noting that we think it's important for this person to be drawn from the community, from the House, and then asking that, we hope that this sets a precedent for further cooperation on this seat going forward, which I think was a very tactful way of saying we deferred to the NCSG this time around. We sincerely hope you'll respect that the next time. The Tapani of the NCSG got back to Greg quite quickly, and basically we are asking the ICANN Secretariat to arrange a vote by Friday. The choices on the ballot will be Matthew, Marcus, and that's basically it. The voters will be 13 non-contracted party house counselors, 6 from the CSG, 6 from the NCSG, and then the NCA, and a candidate must secure at least 8 votes. We are hopeful that this will be sort of an overwhelming acclamation in support of Matthew Shear's candidacy. So that's where things stand on board seat 14. In terms of the shaping the terms of reference for the 2019 GNSO review, we discussed that in yesterday's CSG XCOM call. I had forwarded both my original correspondence to ICANN and the board members, reminding them that this was raised during the intersessional and our interest in proactively addressing this. Rob Hogarth responded, acknowledging, yes, everyone recalled that this was discussed at the intersessional, and asked that we keep them in the loop in terms of how we organize ourselves to do that. I forwarded all of that to the CSGX Xcom for their further review. During the call yesterday, Greg mentioned that it would make sense to form a cross-community group to determine how we want to shape these terms of reference, and that's kind of where things were left. No discussion as to who exactly would be on that cross-community working group, or excuse me, that cross-community group. And then Chris raised the important point that Renalia will be stepping down from her position as in charge of organizational matters within the board, and that Leon Sanchez will be assuming those responsibilities. So we discussed finding an opportunity either via a special teleconference with Leon or simply buttonholing him at ICANN 59 just to bring him up to speed, share with him our views on the importance of being able to shape the terms of reference for the 2019 GNSO review. So that's where things stand on that. I also participated in a planning call for ICANN 59. I would say generally there was a lot of discussion about the importance of ensuring that the sessions, the high interest topic sessions, are developed in a manner that ensures balance and diversity, again reiterating a lot of points that we raised at ICANN 58. There is a proposed follow-up session to the GDPR review. This precipitated that discussion within the planning call. The registry group is hell-bent to have a session on the GDPR. And I guess it's important to note that James Bladel, Vicki Scheckler, and Greg all urged that any session that focused on the GDPR not provide the regulators sort of another opportunity to lecture us, death by PowerPoint, et cetera, but rather that this session be focused on solutions and developing a plan of action to address the forthcoming implementation of the GDPR. So moving to the actual scheduling of sessions, indeed, there will be one session devoted to the GDPR. There will also be sessions devoted to fundamental bylaws amendments. Let me see here. I've got a lot of different paper here. Cross-community discussion on the RDS requirements. Rejection action petitions. Is the empowered community able to exercise its rights under the ICANN bylaws? There will be a session on that. And then two sessions on the geographic themes issues, as well as the operational side of ICANN operations plan and budget. And finally, a session on who sets ICANN's priorities. So those are how the high-interest topic sessions are evolving. In terms of meetings of the CSG and the BC, it looks at this point, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that there will be a BC lunch meeting on the 28th, on Tuesday the 28th. In the planning call yesterday, the CSG XCOM call yesterday, there was interest expressed in both closed CSG meetings to enable us to discuss policy in a confidential setting, as well as open meetings. And the open meetings would enable us to follow up with discussions with Joran, hopefully a 15-minute session with him, again bring David Conrad in to follow up on the open data project, Jamie, and hopefully the new consumer safeguards person, and then also enable some sort of time, it probably won't be too long, but with Becky, Marcus, and Matthew, and hopefully in his incumbent capacity. So those would be held within the open CSG open format. Okay, there was also interest expressed in finding some time to meet with the ALAC, since we had not met with them since ICANN 57. And I think that's it on ICANN 59. Important calls. On the 8th of May, there will be an FY18 budget call. I have the Adobe Connect information for anybody who wants it, or I can simply recirculate it, or perhaps Chantel can recirculate it to the BC. There is also a doodle poll out for an MSSI call with the CSG to discuss strategy and priorities. That has not been determined yet. I think that's it, folks. Happy to take any questions.
This is Chris. Thanks, Barbara. I think you've covered the extensive waterfront of CSG activities so far, and covered exactly what's going to happen, I think, in ICANN 59. I think for folks that haven't were privy to the meeting in Helsinki, it's a shorter meeting, and so there will be fewer CSG and BC activities at that meeting. In fact, as Barbara noted, we'll have just one BC meeting during the Johannesburg gathering. Just before, I believe, just an hour, and over the lunch period, it'll be an open meeting following our traditional open discussion of the policy calendar, et cetera. But we won't have as extensive meetings in Johannesburg as we've had, as we do in other ICANN meetings. So I know Steve mentioned that we'll stare at one more item on the policy calendar. I see Susan's hands first, and then maybe I'll turn to Denise to talk about ODI. Susan, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering on the GDPR session, and you may have said this and I just missed it, but what sort of data commissioners or who's the authority that's going to come and present at that?
At least on the planning call that I was on, whenever that was, the 18th, I guess, the speakers were not determined. It was the bulk of the discussion was ensuring that it wasn't a repeat of what we had at ICANN in Copenhagen.
Okay.
So that it'd be more sort of solution-oriented, developing a plan of action, but there was no discussion of specific speakers yet.
Okay, because that would be interesting to follow.
Yeah, okay.
We want to make sure we got the right people.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thanks, Susan. Denise, I know you're up next, I guess, to discuss ODI, but I also see that you had a comment in the chat about high-interest topic sessions. So perhaps I'll just turn to you real quick and if you want to articulate that.
Sure. I guess for those who can't see the chat, thank Barbara for her update, and also suggested if any of the XCOM people have an opportunity to provide guidance or input on the high-interest topic sessions in general, in addition to having a balanced panel, which I think is key. Really none of the sessions to date have left any reasonable amount of time for community discussion and comments. During these high-interest topic sessions, there's been a bit, but I think all the sessions, at least I've attended, have been really pressed for time and have cut off discussions and comments from the audience. So if they could be given more time or structured in a way to facilitate and allow for a more robust community discussion, I think that would benefit everyone. Would you like me to move on to a quick update on the call regarding data with the CTO?
Yes, please.
So this was a follow-up from a joint letter the BC sent with the IP and ISP constituencies supporting moving the broad infrastructure and aggregated data that ICANN has into the public sphere for unfettered sort of API access. We received a response a month or so ago from Gorin that was, pretty high level in general, lacking in much specifics. So we scheduled a follow-up call with the three constituencies and the CTO, David Conrad, to talk in more detail. With a number of people on the call, we really didn't have time to get into a lot of detail, but David did provide, again, a more, I guess, specific overview and noted that the Open Data Initiative is the sort of overarching program for a number of data-related initiatives that they're undertaking. That they have ITHI and other programs are under that umbrella, and they have a work plan and a time schedule And they'll be holding a session in Johannesburg to go through all of the details on this. And in addition, they offered to come brief our three constituencies and have a more detailed discussion. More data on compliance was specifically raised, and David indicated that unlike in the past, where they didn't have any access or cooperation from compliance, that is changing, and they will be including compliance data in some of their data initiatives. He noted that similar to the advocacy expressed by our three constituencies, they're also getting requests and support for public data from a variety of other groups within ICANN, most notably the GAC, with the several GAC communiques that have included this issue at large and other entities. And I think someone sent a link to a registry IP constituency related letter, and then subsequent blog relating to compliance matters there. So a lot going on in this space, and David Conrad, committed to having a more detailed discussion with our three constituencies in Johannesburg if we wanted, and would give us a heads up on the public session that they're having. And finally, he suggested that we that our three constituencies have a discussion with the registry constituency regarding access to data, specifically Spec 11 3B data and some other data that is being proposed to be included in the public data, to see if we can resolve some of the apparent disagreements about access, public access to this data. Happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. This is Kristen. Thank you for taking the lead on that on behalf of the BC. It's critically important work that David's doing, and how it all ties together with the other work that's going on at ICANN, including compliance. So very much appreciate your doing that. Any other questions or issues, concerns with regard to the policy calendar? Seeing none, maybe Jimson, I'll go ahead and turn to you for an update on operations and finance.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Greetings, everyone. This is Jimson speaking. Firstly, on invoices, members are to expect their FY18 invoices by 1st of May. But I'm trying to give 60 days notice before the end of FY17. And another extra 30 days grace period is provisioned for payments of dues to be made. Secondly, the members are to expect the draft FY18 BC budget by end of May. So you should look forward to getting a first draft by end of May. And this further information, we are currently working on our annual returns following BC's registration as a legal entity. So this is being handled under my purview by our general counsel. Steve mentioned earlier with regard to budget requests, six of the six budget requests we made, five were approved, and the remaining one has been framed, as Steve mentioned, in our budget comments, FY18 budget comments. The five that were approved were for policy consultants. You could recall that we pushed for a policy consultant to assist with our research work with regard to policy, leadership travel for BC officers, and also leadership development for potential members of DC and leaders from developing countries. So two per meeting were approved. Last year, we didn't get this much approved, actually. Last year, we only have one for a meeting. And the gentleman from Sri Lanka, a member now, benefited from that. So in FY18, we have opportunity to bring in two potential leaders from developing countries per meeting to our event. Then crop support for outreach was also approved. We have four slots for crops. And also a request for outreach materials to be printed by ICANN was also approved. We do outsource our newsletter, so we have a consultant that do our newsletter design, but the actual printing is done by ICANN. And the last one that was rejected is the continuous multi-stakeholder engagement, and we have reframed that to focus on the IGF 2017 and the current ongoing work on the CSPD working group on enhanced cooperation on public policy matters pertaining to the internet. So that is with respect to finance. And on operations, as one of the five finance reps in the CSCB Working Group on Health Cooperation and courtesy of the DC, I'll be attending the third meeting of the working group next week in Geneva. It can be noted that government wants a new mechanism or a new UN government-only body to handle public policy matters pertaining to the internet. But business objected to this, that is untenable, noting heavy business sector investment on the internet. So the working group is focused on finding the middle point to meeting the desire of all parties. So I'll be bringing the voice of the developing countries' business in this regard, which aligns with that of the BC. Secondly, thanks to Ariola, we had this outreach in Uganda. I think it was yesterday. Yes, for yesterday, Ariola spoke on our behalf at a major event in Uganda. I believe she's in transit now, and so she's not on this call. So I expect she will provide the feedback at our next call. And thirdly, we plan an outreach to local businesses in Joburg on the 25th of June, or perhaps use the morning breakfast period for it. However, the outreach committee is to make final recommendation, and the coordinator, the chair of the committee, has been working with the member of the committee to frame up the plan concerning this. So Andrew is on the call. So Andrew, you want to chip in with respect to where we are on the outreach in Joburg?
Sure, Jensen. Thanks very much. Very briefly, the outreach committee has been very active. Jensen mentioned the Uganda event. Marilyn also spoke at an Afghanistan event, and we're looking forward to reports from both of those. We were hoping to have some ICANN support for our proposed meeting on the 25th, which is the day before the formal Joburg meeting starts. Based on what we've heard from Chantel and Ricardo, it does not look like they're going to go for that, which is unfortunate. Our hope was to try to get that meeting to take place before the Joburg event so that anybody that we spoke to might be incented to participate and we could get them into the stream and mentor and partner with them so that they would get the most out of the ICANN experience. What the outreach committee is looking at right now is to see if, because of the changes at venue, we have a little bit more outreach money left over than was originally expected. So we were thinking of potentially trying to bump up our contributions to that and do the program that, or much of the program that we had originally expected to do at the venue on our own dime. And so we're going to be talking about that at the beginning of next week to try to figure out whether that's doable financially, and we'll come back to the group with it. But we recognize that we've had a lot of success with Africa outreach in recent years. We want to build off of that success, And given that this is our only real opportunity, and that Doberg is a fantastic venue for doing this, we thought it was worth a real serious effort on our part. One of the things that would be very helpful is that the outreach committee, we've got a proposal on the table. The outreach committee is going to be reaching out to those of you who were ostensibly on the program to speak to make sure that you will, A, be in Joburg on the 25th and able to speak, not arriving on the 25th, but also that you're still interested. And we'll be doing that all very, very shortly. So if you could give us a sense of that, that's great. We really appreciate it. Another note is that we've got other Africa programs that are in the hopper. Lawrence has thrown out one, and I've been working with Gabby Slack to try to do a good bit more on Latin America, either this year or the beginning of next fiscal year, which are coming through. She's been really, really re-energized on that and has been super, super helpful, and compliments to Gabby. And so it looks like we actually have a fair amount in the hopper, not just starting with Joburg, but going forward through the summer and into the early fall, which I think will hold us in very good stead. We're making a lot of progress on the outreach side, and the team is really energized and very excited about it. So thanks, Jensen.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. So we look forward to more feedback on the Joburg event. I don't know if we have some few more minutes. I could note Ariola on the call. Ariola, you want to intervene concerning the Uganda outreach? Okay, Ariola, are you there? Okay, maybe she finds your mute. Okay, I guess she might just send in the report. Maybe we have a communication challenge. I can see that there's still a number of items on the AOB, so I will just turn to Chris. Please, Chris, could you take it? Thank you.
Thanks, Jensen, and thank you for all your efforts, and thank you, Andrew Mack, as well, on the outreach side. You guys are doing yeoman's work, and I know we'll have a great event in Johannesburg, regardless of obstacles put in our way. And for what it's worth, I intend to reach out to Chris Mondini and just let him know that, it's sort of penny wise and pound foolish not to facilitate outreach for constituencies at an outreach event where the policy forum is policy forum and outreach focused. I can understand why they would perhaps not want to have other policy events, et cetera, tacked on to the 4 days, but I think for outreach purposes, it seems to me to make sense to be more flexible there. But hopefully, we can work on that going forward. I want to go ahead quickly. Last few minutes, turn to AOB quickly. We're still in the open nomination period for the next chair of the BC. I think for those that may have missed it, I have to step down. We need someone else to take over the role of chair. I think the nomination period closes, I believe, on Monday. Is that right, Chantel? I think it's Monday. I believe it's Monday. So we've got a few more days. For those that are interested in running, that have questions about the role and what it entails, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Be either email or phone. I'm happy to talk to folks about it and give them a sense of what the job is all about. But I know we've got a lot of qualified and talented people on the BC who would be good candidates. So hopefully we'll get some nominees up by Monday, May 1st, and then we can continue with the election process. I think the goal is to have someone in place by May 29th. Which would give them about roughly a month ahead of the Johannesburg meeting to get ramped up. That's where we are right now on the BC election. As far as the BC charter update, Jensen and I were on a phone call with Rob Hogarth earlier this week, and he mentioned to us that the OEC, the ICANN's Organizational Effectiveness Committee, is meeting next week, where they will be presumably approving looking at our revised charter with attaching a recommendation of approval to send to the board the ICANN board. That means that we Rob believes that barring any unforeseen hurdle, that the ICANN board will be able to approve our revised charter either in Johannesburg or shortly thereafter, depending on time constraints. But so I think we're looking right now at final approval by the end of June, very, very early July. So that's good news from him. And if anything changes in that regard, we'll let folks know. That's it. Otherwise, you know, next meeting will be 2 weeks on May 11th, same time. I hope folks can be able to dial in then and learn more about what's going on with some of these public comments and other things. So any other thoughts, questions, concerns anyone may have? Okay, seeing nothing then, I thank everybody for their time and look forward to talking to you all in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much. Chantel, you can stop the call.
Thanks, everyone. Operator, you may now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.